In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, The Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome in to another episode of The Tool Shed podcast brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 392. Thank you for joining me. I am your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at ToolShedPod. Rolling solo in this one, but have a lot of great topics and players to discuss. But before I do, let's get into the housekeeping. If you enjoy the pod, please rate and review. You can find all of my content either on Rotoballer or over on my Patreon, which is ToolShedFantasy.com. And make sure you check out all the great content available over on Rotoballer. With Rotoballer's MLB Premium Pass, gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners, import your leagues with TeamSync, and get expert advice customized for your league-specific settings. Win more with Rotoballer's lineup assistant tools, free agent finder, prop picks, and the number one DFS lineup optimizer. Our Premium Pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio. And use the discount code TOOLSHED to get 10% off at checkout. Before I get into the show, today, if you're listening to this on Monday, is Memorial Day. Quick shout out. Thank you. Huge thank you to all the brave men and women that serve in our armed forces. Both of my grandfathers were in the wars, World War II and the Korean War. I've had an uncle that served, a couple cousins. So definitely thank you to all the men and women out there that are serving in the armed forces. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, let's get into it today. Talk about some prospect promotions, a couple players mashing in AAA, some top pitching prospect discussion here, and we'll finish up the show with a big old discussion on catchers because there's a lot of fun young catchers in the game right now. Most of which are on the rise, but a couple of our proven, big names not having the greatest year. So I'll kind of just have a big open discussion on the catcher spot right now. But let's start with the prospect promotions. We got one in Boston, not Roman Anthony, but Marcelo Meyer, pretty solid consolation prize there. With Alex Bregman hitting the IL with what sounds like it's going to be, maybe around 2 months. So we'll see on that, but not a quick, 15-day thing or anything like that. So Meyer gets the call to play third base. Obviously it's not going to be Rafael Devers. He ain't moving back over at this point. But in 43 games for AAA Worcester, Meyer was slashing .271, .347, .471, 5 doubles, 9 home runs, and a pair of steals, 20 walks to 38 strikeouts. Now, metrics under the hood, pretty solid as well. Contact rate, a little over 75%. Average EV, 89.8 miles per hour. Hard hit rate, 47.8%. Barrel rate, 9.7%. So very close to, 90 miles an hour EV, 48% hard hit rate, 10% barrel rate. Good blend of contact, approach, and power. I mean, that's been what Meyer's been all about. I saw him good bit last year in AA when it was great to have him, Anthony, and Campbell here at one time. Just phenomenal to get to all those games. But, Meyer wasn't, the greatest last year. He didn't really stand out to me last year, but, he was good, but not great last year. And I kind of can say the same thing again about him this year. Guess why I don't have him ranked as an elite prospect. This is a good prospect. Absolutely. This is going to be a guy that's going to have a long, long major league career and maybe make a few all-star teams along the way. But for fantasy purposes, and this is where you know, the rankings between real life prospect rankings and fantasy focused prospect rankings, you're really going to have, you know which one you're ranking for, because Meyer is a better real life prospect than fantasy. I mean, I have him as a top 50 prospect. I think even in the 30s somewhere, as if I recall. Actually, let me pull it up right now. So I do have my ranking spreadsheet up, as I usually do when I'm on my laptop. I have Marcelo Meyer. Oh, I had him 26. Okay. A little bit higher than I even thought I did. But he's never really cracked up into that top 25 range, at least not recently. He did back when after he was drafted. But for fantasy, you know, he's a shortstop that doesn't run much at all. I mean, you're going to get more than, you know, a handful of steals from him. Maybe he gets the 10. Maybe he had 13 last year. He's not slow, but he's not really quick either. He's more of that, you know, good first step at that, you know, at shortstop, third base. Like he's got decent range, but not like a burner on the base pass. Kind of a little bit of difference there in terms of his speed. But you're probably looking at a max of like 10 to 12 steals annually. So as a probable single digit steal guy, for the most part, you know, to be one of those elite prospects, you have to really stand out in terms of power and contact. And while he's above average in both, I mean, I'd say 55 hit, 55 power with Marcelo Meyer, he's not plus, you know, maybe you could say plus raw power. But long-term, you know, he looks like a guy that's going to hit you, you know, 260, 270, 275, you know, good average, maybe 280 plus some years. I don't think 300. And home runs, he's probably low to mid-20s. I'm not sure if I see 30 home runs, especially with him being a lefty in Fenway. You know, I've seen plenty of these good but not great power bats that are left-handed at Fenway kind of get limited. You know, the first name I always think of is Andrew Benintendi, right? But, you know, these guys like, you know, Cassis, you know, you can say what you say about him, but the big boy power guys, they don't get affected as much at Fenway. But guys like, you know, Marcelo Meyer, I think might get limited a little bit, as, you know, compared to if they're in another ballpark that was more, you know, hitter friendly to the lefties. So, you know, with that said, you know, Meyer is, again, he was borderline top 25 for me. It'd be nice if he can get some dual eligibility here, given he'll probably have shortstop eligibility initially on all platforms and then pick up third base long term. I'm not 100% sure. I've been asked this question a lot. You know, how does this wind up with this infield? I don't know. They have so much flexibility. You know, Meyer can play second, third, or short. Campbell can play a second short in the outfield. I'm not really sure where both those guys wind up, like, you know, 3 years from now. Like, where are these two guys starting? My guess would be that this is the starting middle infield for Boston, with Campbell at short. I mean, excuse me, Campbell at second base and Meyer at short. I think eventually, unless something magical happens, they're going to pull the plug on this Trevor Story. I almost said Troy Tulowitzki. Wrong Colorado shortstop. The Trevor Story project here, because he's just not working out this year. So I think long-term, that is your starting middle infield, Meyer at short and Campbell at second base. And I think Meyer, I mean, he could be a guy that gets, you know, back in top 100 overall player, you know, top 150 player, something like that. And I think that's what we're looking at here with Marcelo Meyer. Already has a couple knocks, already has his first, he had a single for his first about the other way, already has his first double out of the way. Nice to see that. So Marcelo Meyer getting the call there in Boston. Over to the Athletics here for another promotion, Denzel Clark. Yeah, they did a little bit of a roster kind of shakeup. Several guys going up and down. Most notably, J.J. Bleday going down and Denzel Clark coming up to patrol center. And it sounds like they're going to give him some decent run in that outfield moving forward in a pretty good lineup there with the Athletics. Though it has been, you know, kind of, they've been sputtering a bit of late, but still got some good talent in that lineup. Yeah, and Denzel Clark, he's a fun player. This year in AAA, 31 games, 133 plate appearances, 286, 436, 419 slash line, 11 extra base hits, 7 steals, 23 walks to 29 strikeouts. But unfortunately, you know, if you look at his BREF page or your Fangraphs page, wherever you look for your prospect stats, you'll see a big old goose egg in that home run column, which is, you know, a little bit unfortunate, but that's not for lack of, you know, quality of contact. Now, the quality of contact with Clark at AAA was actually pretty good. It was an EV average of right 90 miles an hour on the nose, hard hit rate 51.4%. But the problem with Denzel Clark, what was the ground ball rate? It was super high, 68.1%. This was not really an issue for him in the low minors. 2022, 37% ground ball rate, 2023, 39%, but then it's jumped. 2024 was 50.5%, and this year, 68.1%. Yikes. Yeah, that's definitely going to limit you a good bit here, even if the quality of contact is pretty good. And that's why the barrel rate is pretty low for him at 4.3%. Now, contact skills are a little below average. He was 69% overall contact rate, and the in-zone rate was, I was lost to hear. Well, the in-zone rate was fine, about 81%. So he's, you know, fringy average contact guy this season. But what I'm, you know, impressed by from him so far this year in AAA, at least, he improved the approach. He had an 8.2% walk rate and a 29.9% strikeout rate in 2024. Those have been improved to a 17.3% walk rate, so more than double there. Though, you know, before 2024, he had higher walk rates, so it's kind of rebounding and then also improving. So he was like 12, 13% before that. And the K rate, which was always been high, down to 21.8%. I think that's actually the most important one there, because he was 29% in low A, 36.2% in high A, and then 2023, 2024, double A, 29.7, 29.9%. So always, you know, upper 20s, upper, you know, basically 30% or above. Now that's down to, you know, around 22%. That's huge. Though he has struck out in five of his first six plate appearances with the Athletics, but still encouraging to see that, you know, drop down. And same thing with the swing and strike rate. You know, it dropped to 10.6% this year. So, yeah, definitely a fun profile. He's a plus runner. You know, could be a 30 steal guy. And he has the power to be a 15 to 20 homer bat if he can kind of improve the angles a bit. We'll see if that's the case. I'm not really sure. That, you know, again, that's not a quick fix type of thing, but definitely has the power to be, you know, more than what he's shown this year. That's for sure. The third bat here getting the call, which I honestly actually missed at the time until, like, you know, 12 hours later. Granted, it did happen later on Saturday night after I kind of had tuned out, you know, things and gone to bed. But Alejandro Ozuna getting the call for the Texas Rangers. They have also been, you know, kind of a lackluster offense this year. Definitely, you know, worse than I think everyone expected from them. Luckily, their, you know, pitching has been phenomenal. Eovaldi's been a beast. You know, DeGrom is back to being DeGrom. So that's kind of been keeping them in the hunt. But their offense definitely has underperformed. So they called up Alejandro Ozuna after just eight games in AAA. If you followed me, especially since last year, like, I've been, you know, a pretty big Alejandro Ozuna guy. He's undersized. Like, he's like Bo Bichette sized. But, and he looks like him too. Like, you know, looks, when I saw him out in the Arizona Fall League in the batter's box, I should be in the on deck circle, you know, look, he had the blue uni on, so it was like Toronto colors, the hair. This is before Bo cut his hair, which I'm still not used to. But, you know, had like the long flowing hair, same kind of build. So Ozuna was one of the more impressive players I saw out there, just like doing everything well. I mean, he's not a guy that has massive power, massive speed, but, you know, good contact skills, you know, solid power, and he's a good athlete and plays a good outfield as well. So just does a lot of things that impact the game across the board. You know, this year was running, he's a contact rate damn near 90% this year. It was 89% in zone, over 90%. Swing and strike rate only around, like, you know, 5% or so this year. I didn't have the gaudy stats on the surface line, but two home runs, nine steals, 11.4% walk rate, 15.8% strikeout rate, with a 279, 316, should be 386, 416 slash line in 39 games. 31 of those were double A, 8 in triple A. I'm not sure like how long of a run he's going to get with Texas, but I like Ozuna a good bit long term. I've had him in that like 75 to 100 range in my prospect rankings for a good bit. And right now, at this current point in time, he is 78, kind of near Aiden for outfield prospects, Aiden Smith, Jason Churio, who's going down, unfortunately, Kevin Alcantara, Theo Gillen, Dylan Beavers, those types. Mike Sirota has been jumping up. So kind of the range of outfield prospects he's in right behind, Quintero, Cole Carrig, Eduardo Beltre, Jacob Melton. So like tier, I don't know, three or four of outfield prospects. There is, I think around average raw power, I think he could be like a 15, ish homer guy, maybe get up in the upper teens at some point, probably capped in the low 20s, but could be a 20 plus steal guy. And I got to give you a good average, good OBP. Again, the contact skills are there. The walk rate is there. Does not strike out that much. It's nice to see him walking more this year because he was only around 8% in 2024, though it was 15% in 2023. It's nice to see him getting back to being a bit more patient and drawing those walks. And the strikeout rate's come down. It was around 23.5% last year, down to that 15.8% mark this year. So just a good, solid player. He's always kind of been overlooked. But I think he could be a sneaky guy, just sneak up on people, have those good seasons. End of the year, you're like, man, Ozuna had a pretty solid year. 14 home runs, 23 steals, hit me 275, something like that. That's the type of guy I think Ozuna can become. Only 22 years old. He'll be 22 for the entire season. Turns 23 in October. I think one of the more undervalued prospects in all of baseball. So definitely go out and get him wherever you can. I think a perceived value isn't super high on him, so a good value target in dynasty leagues. Let's go to a guy that actually might be up soon at this point. Jack Caglione. My word. This guy now has 5 home runs in his last 4 games. And if you've seen any of the video, and I've been posting a lot of it, they're not cheapos. These are big boy home runs. These are clearing the outfield wall by 40, 50 plus feet. These are leaving entire stadiums down there in AAA. And he was doing it in AA too. Jack Caglione has the most raw power of any hitter in the minor leagues. I think that's pretty easy to say. I feel pretty comfortable in saying that. Like, the dude has 80 grade raw power. And anybody that uses the 2080 scouting grade scale for prospects doesn't throw 80 grades on there often, especially in me, especially. I don't like throwing 80 grades on anything. I think Hit Tool is probably the one I have the least amount of 80 grades given out to. You see a lot of 80 grade speed guys, not as many 80 grade power guys, but Jack Caglione 100% has 80 grade power. And if there was 90 grade power, he'd probably have that too. This we're looking at a potential 40 homer bat here with Caglione. And there are some warts. He does chase a good bit, but at the same time, the contact skills have been good, especially in Florida and in the minor leagues. He's made decent contact, so that's not really the issue. It's not like, oh, he strikes out too much, or, oh, the contact skills are too low. He was 75% in AA, and he's up near 80% in AAA, with his own contact rate around 85, 86%. That's solid contact skills, especially with a guy that has this level of power. My word. If he can just keep the chase rate, will get him, and major league pitchers will probably expose that to a degree. So I don't think he's going to be like a 300 hitter, but 260. Yeah, absolutely. With 40 home runs, this could be like a, I'm trying to think. I hate comps. I suck at comps, to be honest with you. And anyone knows me knows that, but it's not like, Kyle Schwarber. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good comp, but I just don't have one right now. But 260, 40, that's the upside we're looking at with Jack Caglione. And if you asked me before the season, I thought he was going to be up late. you know, now, I think he could be up any day now. I mean, they just optioned Kevin Biggio to AAA. I mean, currently it's 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So maybe there's already been, you know, a break in this news and maybe Jack got promoted. I hope not. Well, for the sake of this podcast, I hope he doesn't get promoted. So I would have missed talking about that part of it. But I do hope he's up soon in general, just for the fun of it. But, you know, Kevin Biggio got optioned to AAA, according to Royalist Beat writer Ann Rogers, who's a great follow. You should definitely follow Ann Rogers. She does a lot of good stuff with the Royals. But it sounds like, you know, I don't think it's going to be Jack this quickly, though maybe it will be. You know, it's probably just going to be like John Rave or something like that. But, you know, Cags has been in the outfield, you know, several times over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, I think that shows that they're trying to, you know, find a way for him to get into this lineup, you know, sooner rather than later, because, you know, they're kind of sputtering for the most part, this Royals lineup, and especially their outfield. Their outfield, you know, was, you know, it's been some combination of, you know, Biggio before he got sent down tonight. You know, who's also been out there? Nick Lofton. Kyle Isbell has been patrolling center field. Michael Massey's been out in the left field a bit. India was earlier in the year, but he's back to second base. Drew Waters, there's the other one. Yes, but so mostly Drew Waters, Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell, Kevin Biggio. Like that, I don't know what their collective, you know, stats are, collective OPS is, but I can guarantee it isn't overly high. So getting Jack in that lineup, you know, to go with that top five in the lineup is pretty solid. India, Witt, Vinny P, Salvi Perez, and Michael Garcia was having a good year. Add Jack into that, throwing him in like that 5-6 spot. Man, that is really, really good. You know, they could probably put him in that, you know, probably in that five spot to have that left, right, left, right, left, 2 through 5 with Witt, Vinny, Salvi, and Jack, and then put Michael Garcia in the 6th spot or something like that. Who knows? But I think Jack's up soon. Don't know if it's going to be on Monday, but Jack's going to be up soon, I think. And he's an absolute beast. Like, we're talking top tier potential dynasty first baseman. So, you know, now that I mentioned that, let me pull up my dynasty first base ranks here, because this is a position that's going to be starting to see some turnover, because a lot of the upper tier options are over 30. Even, you know, like Pete Alonso, he turned 30, you know, a handful of months ago. Bryce Harper's 32 and a half. Matt Olson's 31. Freddie is going to be 36 in a few months. So you're going to see, you know, some newer names. You know, I think the, you know, two biggest names that'll get up there, and maybe the three if you, you know, want to include, you know, Basayo, or even four with Eldridge. You know, because Basayo, we'll see where he ends up. You know, maybe it's some combination of catcher and first, because I don't think it's going to be catcher full-time. Obviously, there's some dude named Adley Rutschman that's there. So I think you see Basayo keep first base eligibility, you know, moving forward. So you get the quartet of Samuel Basayo, Bryce Eldridge, Nick Kurtz, who obviously is already up and hitting some dingers now, and Jack Caglione. That's going to be kind of, I think they're going to jump up there into that top tier or second tier, along with, you know, Vladdy's going to stay up there, even if he's kind of having a miss season. I think Pete will stay up there for the next, you know, few years at least. I think you still get another few good years of Harper and Olson. Then you got Josh Naylor, who's kind of been steady in like that tier two range. So yeah, I think you see potentially a top five. You know, Kurtz and Cags are the two that I have the most confidence in getting up there. But you know, I think he could be top five dynasty first baseman very soon. I think he's top 10 dynasty first base right now for me, and he's in my top 10 overall prospects now. I think it's warranted. Like I said earlier, like, you got to have big boy power, you know, and solid contact skills, get up to a top 10 prospect rankings without having speed. Jack has that power. So I think top 10 is very fair. He's in like that second tier of prospect rankings for me right now. Oh, man, he is so fun to watch. Hopefully he's up soon, mashing those dingas there with the Kansas City Royals.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Let's keep it with the pitching or with the prospect rankings talk here. Go over to pitching prospects now because Jackson Jobe is about to graduate. He'll, you know, assuming he doesn't get hurt, land on the IL, he's going to graduate in his next start. And he only needs like another inning and two thirds, I believe it is, to graduate. So kind of look at the top of my pitching prospect rankings right now. Bubba Chandler, Andrew Painter, Chase Burns, Jacob Mizierowski, Travis Sikora. That's my tier one. And you, I think there's two little mini tiers within there, like tier 1A and tier 1B. Tier 1A would be Chandler, Painter, and Burns. They're all in my top 25. And then in the mid-30s of my rankings, at actually back-to-back, 33, 34, is Sikora and Mizierowski. I mean, two of these guys went today on Sunday, Sikora and Burns. Chandler, I think, was it Saturday or Friday? He had a no-hitter into the sixth, was it? Yeah, the sixth, but he, I think he also had like four walks. Also, not getting the call. They just called up Braxton Ashcraft. I mean, what does Bubba Chandler have to freaking do to get up to Pittsburgh? But anyway, you know, Chandler and Painter probably are up. And Mizierowski, I think three. I think the three of those guys are all up by the end of July. You know, Painter, I think they're staying with their course of action with him being around the All-Star break in July. Maybe they dip into the, you know, latter part of June. And I think Chandler and Mizierowski are up by the end of June. I say that, but Pittsburgh probably could have brought up Chandler a month ago, but I don't know. But Mizierowski, I want to kind of touch on a little bit more here, because if you followed my rankings, you know, he's been one that I've had a really hard time ranking, because if you watch Jacob Mizierowski for, you know, 3 seconds, you'll see the elite stuff. It's a elite fastball. He's got the two big breakers. Like, this guy, he reminds me of, like, everything like, could be like a Tyler Glasnow type. But the walk rate has always limited him. Command and control has always kind of limited him in that way. He had 42 walks in 71 in the third innings in 2023, 60 walks in 97 in the third innings in 2024. And then even the start of this year, you know, he was still having those issues. So that's why I was like, all right, let me drop him down. I think he was like outside my top 10, or it was right around that, you know, SP 9 to 12 range in my pitching prospect rankings. But you look at over the last, what has it now been, 6 starts, that walk rate has come way down. He has 8 combined walks in his last 6 starts, which span 33 and two thirds innings. So that is a 6.5% walk rate. Oh, yeah. He also has a 0.80 ERA in that time span. He has a 0.77 whip in this time span, a 158 batting average against, 211 slug allowed. That's a 0.53 ISO. And the strikeout rate, elite as always, 33.9% in this time frame. So, I mean, every outing, it's like 6 innings, you know, 1 hit, 0 runs, 1 walk, 8 Ks. It's 7-4-1-1-5-6-2-0-1-11. It's been dominant start after dominant start. You did have a 4-walk game right in the middle of there on May 3rd. But again, 8 walks in his last 6 outings after having 12 in his first 4 outings, which was only 18 and two-thirds innings. So this is definitely encouraging. It's definitely a small sample size. Not saying his command and control issues are fixed, but even if 10-11% walk rate range, I call it the Freddie Peralta rule. Though Freddie's been more down like the 9.5% range, but close enough. That's just the one I always think of. You can have, you know, quote unquote, a below average walk rate or worse than league average walk rate for a pitcher if you have that elite stuff. Like if you have like, you know, top 10, you know, upside at the position. If you have that elite frontline stuff, you can get by with a little bit of a higher walk rate. So I don't need him to be 7%, 6%. That'd be phenomenal. If this right now sticks, great. I'm not expecting it to this level. But even if he finds that middle ground where he's just in that 10% range for the walk rate, this is still probably going to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. I mean, That's the upside. He, you know, 6'7" righty that can throw 100. He had 103 mile an hour strikeout in the recent outing on like his 78th pitch of the game, I believe it was, like the last pitch of the game for him. That's insane that he can throw that hard and maintain the velocity throughout a start. So yeah, Jacob Mizorowski is definitely top five pitching prospect for me right now. Though I think he is for some people as well. But the one out of this five, I mean, I think the top three, I think definitely are in basically everyone's top five pitching prospects right now. Mizorowski probably is to some degree, but the one I think is the least, you know, common for a top five pitching prospect right now would be Travis Sikora. But I don't know how you don't rank Travis Sikora as a top five pitching prospect right now. The dude, is anyone like, just watch him pitch. Like, this guy is absolutely nasty on all levels. I mean, the arsenal is so advanced for a 21-year-old. I mean, you're looking at another guy that can hit triple digits with the fastball. This is a double plus fastball. He's also got a slider and a changeup, which are both above average plus offerings. And for, you know, I'd even say 55 grade command and control as well. I mean, this is a high floor here. Assuming he can stay healthy, there's been some injury issues. But like, what young pitcher can you not say that about these days? Like, I almost say, like, oh, there's you know, there's some injury risk. There's injuries with every freaking pitcher. We know this now. So it's almost like, you know, if there's elevated risk, sure. I don't think there's elevated injury risk here. You know, who knows? He might get injured, need Tommy John eventually. Every prospect you said about these days with how pitching is going. But, you know, there's no, I don't see like long-term durability concerns here, but I do see long-term dominance with Travis Sikora. I mean, the fastball's even ticked up a little bit this year, and he's been, look at the stats here. They've been absolutely dominant, you know, so far this year. He had another great outing on Sunday as well. I mean, this guy cannot be touched so far this year. You know, I think he's up to, I'm trying to find it. Where do I have it here? He was up to, I think it was, I think he's more than doubled the amount of strikeouts as innings pitched right now. I posted it earlier. I'm trying to find that so I don't have to save myself from looking it up again. There it is. Yeah. So today on Sunday, 4 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 9 Ks for the season. This is 5 outings so far. He's been mostly 3 and 4 inning outings right now. Still getting stretched back out, but season, 15 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 4 walks, and 32 strikeouts. Yeah, more than 2 strikeouts per inning right now. So if you like the Caper 9, I don't. You know, Caper 9 would be like, what, I don't know, 18 and a half right now. Strikeout rate is absolutely insane with him. Keeps the walks in check. Now, I've had him as a top 5 pitching prospect since, I want to say it was like last July, August or so. I'd have to go back and double check that. But, you know, right now, no doubt top 5 pitching prospect and could be number 1 soon. Like, you know, all the, you can make a case for any of these guys being the number 1 pitching prospect. And when some of these guys graduate, you know, like you probably see at least 3 of them graduate this year or probably do. You could see number 1 pitching prospect at the end of the year. I think it's going to be a big debate between Chase Burns and Travis Sikora. I think those are going to be the 2 dudes end of the year we're looking at as top pitching prospects. Just a few other guys here to mention. You know, people out there probably wondering, oh, what about Noah Schultz? You know, what about Hagen Smith, etc.? You know, with Noah Schultz, he was in this tier 1 for me as early as, you know, the start of the season. I still like Noah Schultz a good bit. I just have some concerns about command and control with him as well. It's almost like, as you know, Mizorowski kind of was correcting some of these issues and jumping up my rankings a little bit again, Schultz was doing the opposite. I mean, this year, 36 innings, Noah Schultz has walked 23 guys. So that is, you know, looking at a walk rate of about 14%. Last year, there was no issue with that. So I'm kind of wondering what's going on with Noah Schultz this year, because last year the walk rate was 6.7% in 88 and a third innings between high A Winston-Salem and double A Birmingham. But this year, you know, he's just not finding his spots, and he's not even missing as many bats as he did last year. He's down to about 23.5% strikeout rate. It's not commanding well, but hey, he's 21, double A. I'm not hitting the panic button by any means, but felt the need to drop him a little bit down. He's definitely second tier, and he's my number six guy in pitching prospect rankings. So not panicking, not saying you should sell, but just a bit concerned with Noah Schultz right now. And Hagen Smith, I have never been like super high on Smith. I mean, he's fun. Don't get me wrong. He is a electric arm, really good fastball slider combination. Still want to see him develop, a legitimate third weapon to go with those two, but walk rate issues with him as well. He's pitched 25 and two thirds innings in seven starts for Double A Birmingham this year. And you're looking at a walk rate of 18.7%. 20 walks in 25 and two thirds innings. Yeah, he's striking out a ton of batters, 39.3%. But just have those concerns with the third offering. Have the concerns that can he keep the walk rate in check and command well enough to stick as a starter long term? I think there's a little bit of bullpen risk here. I'm not afraid to say that. That might be unpopular, but there's a bit of bullpen risk. He could be an absolutely dominant lights out, late end reliever if that is the path that ends up happening down the road. I think it's way too early to, say that or think that, but I think it's okay to think, all right, there is some reliever risk here with Hagen Smith, but he's in that next tier as well. But those are the issues I have, and that's why the White Sox duo not in that top tier for me, at least not yet. If they, correct some of those issues, yeah, they could absolutely get up into that range for sure. All right, let's end the show with some catcher discussion here, because the catchers right now are all over the place. It's definitely, a lot of trending names right now, both up and down. Now, this catcher spot's kind of in flux. Catcher and second base are really the two spots that are in flux right now. Number one is cemented for me right now. And this guy overtook William Contreras, who's still my number two. But at this point, it's hard to make an argument against Big Dumper, Cal Raleigh, being the number one dynasty catcher right now. That's just how it is. He is, among the league leaders in home runs right now, RBI, run score. He's been one of the top offensive catchers for the last several years now. Yeah, the average, is a bit lower. That's been the argument against him. But what when he's so good elsewhere, I think you kind of live with it, right? It's kind of what you have to do. And the average hasn't even been that bad this year. 254. That's not terrible. Yeah, it'd be better if he stayed up here than opposed to that 220, 230 range. But in terms of home runs, only Logan Ohapi is anywhere near Cal Raleigh. He's at 14. Raleigh's at 17. He has the most RBI among catchers. He has the most runs scored among catchers. He even has five steals this year, for good measure. 15% walk rate. Yeah, K rate's high. Leads in ISO by a freaking mile. Again, Ohapi is second there. But Cal Raleigh, beast. Number one catcher. He's 28 years old. He's 32, 33. So I think you can see another few years at least of elite production. And that Seattle lineup has gotten better around him, too. It's not a terrible lineup anymore. So, yeah, Cal Raleigh's number one. Then after that, I think, is where the discussion really opens up, because the other big names, for the most part, have not been great this year. Will Smith has been good. He has been actually sneaky good, and that people aren't even talking about it because he only has four home runs. The counting stats aren't super high, but he's slashing 336, 457, 500. 17.9% walk rate, 18.5% strikeout rate. He is running a 402 BABIP, though, so a little bit aided there, but he's been the number two offensive catcher by a considerable margin this year in terms of both WOBA, WRC+, WAR, to Kim and Raleigh running away with it right now. So, but he's not the number. I still have Contreras number two. I do have Smith number three. But Smith's only 30. He's a couple years older than Raleigh and Contreras, who are 28 and 27 respectively. But 30 is not super old for a catcher, but so I think he's still deserving of being in the number three spot. After that, the two that have struggled a decent bit this year are Adley Rutschman and Nenad Diaz. You know, coming into Sunday, you know, Adley was at 214, 313, 353, five home runs. Still has the elite approach. The contact skills are still very high. But, you know, he's one where the surface stats have never really lined up with the, you know, underlying metrics. And Nenad Diaz, like, that aggressiveness has caught up to him this year. Only a 20% K rate, but 3.3% walk rate. Also, five home runs there. So in terms of, like, home runs, runs, RBI, they're kind of pretty similar, him and Adley. 227, 261, 360 slash line. You know, with Adley, as I mentioned, you know, it's not like everything is bad under the hood. It's kind of pretty much in line with what you saw from him the previous few years. Quality of contact it's okay. It's actually up a little bit this year. So it's gone from being like average to a tick above average. 9.2% barrel rate, 90.1 mile an hour average exit velocity, 39% hard hit rate. He still has, you know, a good walk and strikeout rate, 12%, 16% there. So that's still good. You know, pull air rate, a healthy 19%, you know, air rate, 62.4%. So angles are solid. Zone contact's actually up to 92%. Overall contact's around 86%. Chase rate's actually come down to a career best 19.5%. So under the hood, it's like, all right, this should be going better than where it is. Like, squared up rate is super high, 94th percentile there. Sweet spot rate is 65th percentile. It's just not hitting the ball super hard, even though that is up. I think you're going to see him take a step forward in terms of the surface stats this year. Because you look at XBA is 270, XSlug 473. Again, you know, contact, quality of contact are up this year a little bit. So everything's just going wrong in Baltimore right now. But I think if you have an opportunity to buy low and Adley, if that price tag's come down a little bit, I would. He's still 27 years old, still looking in his physical prime, just entering it, really. So I would still put him as a top five catcher moving forward. Maybe he's not number one or number two or even number three, but can he stay in like that 4, 5, 6 range moving forward? Yeah, I believe he can be in that range. So maybe even a little bit of a buy low window right now on Adley. Yiner, though, I mean, a lot of stuff's gone down for Yiner this year. You know, barrel rate's actually up. Average EV is about the same, right around 90 miles an hour. Hard hit rate, though, has gone down from 47.5% to 39.7%. K rate's ticked up a little bit, but that's still better than league average. Just, he just keeps hanging around that 3-4% walk rate range. Chase rate, again, over 40%, 42.7%. But he still has the contact skills, though. 87% zone, 76% overall. That's in line with last year, almost identical to last year. Same with the chase rate. It's like everything is in line with last year, except for the hard hit rate. So I'm tempted to say buy low on Nenad Diaz as well, because, you know, there's still a lot of good in the profile. He just chases way too often, and it gets him. Like, he's probably going to have, you know, continue to have the, you know, peaks and valleys from being an aggressive hitter. That's just how it is. He's got a swing rate about 10% above league average. First pitch swing rate's 15% above league average. This is just an aggressive dude, but still has good contact skills, doesn't strike out that much, and still has solid power. So I would lean towards a little bit of a buy low on Yiner as well. But in terms of the other rising names, I mean, Logan O'Hoppe, you know, maybe he's like, I want to call him Little Dumper. If that's a funny name, but if Cal Raleigh's Big Dumper, then maybe Logan O'Hoppe is Little Dumper, you know, or Cal Raleigh Light, or whatever you want to call him. I like Little Dumper, actually. I'm gonna see if I can get that going. Logan Lil Dumper O'Hoppe, 25 years old. I mean, he's second to Raleigh in a lot of the power metrics this year. He's got 14 home runs, 272, 304, 543 slash line. I would not bank on that average staying at 272, though. I mean, he's probably more of that 240-ish range where he was the previous two seasons. Quality of contact is elite. 20% barrel rate, 92-mile-an-hour average exit velocity, got 21-degree average launch angle, sweet spot rate of 38%. Ex-Wobicon is 522, hard hit rate 53.3%. But 33.5% strikeout rate, 4.1% walk rate. First off, before I go to the contact, what happened to the high walk rate Logan Hoppe that came to know and love in the minor leagues? That has gone down. He was even at 12.5% in his rookie year. Okay, that was actually not too many play appearances, so ignore that. But major league, 7%, 6%, 4%. Guess that high walk rate guy's never coming back, but the power is there to be a 25-plus homer bats. I mean, maybe he even goes over 30 this year. I mean, he's on pace for, I think he's on pace for 40 right now. Yeah, he's on pace for a little over 40 home runs right now. Probably doesn't get there, you know, just by law of averages with catchers. Probably doesn't get there. But could he be a 30-homer guy? Yes, he absolutely can be. But the reason why, I mean, I mentioned the walk and strikeout rate already. Zone contact, 74%. Overall contact around 65%. He's just not, even with the quality of contact that he brings to the table, Ohapi is just not a 270 hitter. So I think you see that go down 250 or less, but don't think it's going to ever crater to like 200 or anything like that. But even like a 240, 250 guy, 30 home runs, he's making a case for being top five right now. So there's a few guys that are making that case to being top five, especially with those big names that I already mentioned having the down years. You know, I think you can make a case for Ohapi being top five. You can make a case for Ivan Herrera being top five. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's a little early for that because the sample size on Ivan Herrera still isn't big. But last year, 301, 372, 428. I mean, I talked about him in the offseason when Clegg and I were doing, you know, our catcher ranking episodes back in probably was early December. And I think we both spoke very highly of Ivan Herrera. And the metrics last year were really good. They've gotten even better this year. He obviously missed that time, but he's got five home runs, 391, 463, 696 slash line in 82 plate appearances this year. Quality of contact has gone up, 47% hard hit rate, 14.5% barrel rate, 91 mile an hour average exit velocity. He's running a 621X slug, 322 actual, XBA, excuse me. And contact skills are still above average, 86.5% zone, just a tick under 80% overall. Chase rate is right around league average. So if you're looking at average to above average contact skills, he's showing plus power, which is what he did last year. Last year's more above average power. This year has been up to plus power. And he's improved the approach as well, which was already solid last year. He was right around 10%, 20% walk and K rate. This year it's 11.5% walk, 15.5% strikeout rate. So if you see this continue with Ivan Herrera, I mean, I think he's already in that discussion. I don't have him top five yet. I actually have him seven. At this very point in time, I have my dynasty catcher rankings are Cal Raleigh, William Contreras, Will Smith, Adley, Logan Ohapi, Yiner Diaz, Ivan Herrera. That's my top seven. And then the run at the 10, it's Sammy Basayo, Austin Wells, and Augustin Ramirez. You know, Ramirez has been up and down since he came up, but I think he has the upside to stick in that top 10 long term. We know Basayo has that upside and he's showing it lately. You know, but another name in that range, Francisco Alvarez, he's been dropping down. Like, I don't have Alvarez as a top 10 dynasty catcher anymore. I know he had the allure, years ago because of him being a top prospect and all. He's playing in the big media market, you know, with the Mets. And you know, he's had some flashes of being a impact catcher. But those flashes have been few and far between. He's struggling pretty hard this year. 232, 321, 304 slash line, one home run and 78 plate appearances. There's been some injury issues there. K rate is near 30%. Zone contact rate's down to 73%. Overall contact, 61%. That's just not going to get it done. I still have him as like a top 15-ish catcher, but he's down in like that tier. I'm not sure what tier that'd be, tier 3 or 4. Not tier one, not tier two. Best case scenario, he's tier three now, and it's dropping. I mean, he's down, you know, he's going to be in the same range as, you know, Sean Murphy, Tyler Stevenson, you know, guys like that. But two more names here to close out the show that I want to touch on real quick. We got Drake Baldwin on the rise and Moises Ballesteros as well. I mean, Drake Baldwin, obviously, he's been up with Atlanta this year with that Murphy injury earlier in the year. And he's now been, you know, playing a little more regularly lately. 340, 385, 536 slash line, 5 home runs and 104 plate appearances. The quality of contact has been very, very impressive. It's 11.5% barrel rate, 92.5 mile an hour average exit velocity, and a 58% hard hit rate. He's only striking out 14% of the time right now, with above average contact rates too, 86.5% zone and around 81.5% overall. It's a matter of getting that consistent playing time, but he's in the top 10 discussion right now for dynasty catcher rankings. Not quite up in that. He's probably like leading the third tier, right in that same range with Ramirez, with Wells, Dalton Rushing is there as well. You know, Shea Langeliers, you could put in that range too. And then Moises Ballesteros, you know, he is a guy that I probably underranked a bit, coming into this season. I mean, I had him top 100, so it wasn't like I was super low. I just didn't really see what the long-term kind of fit was going to be with Ballesteros, because he's a catcher that maybe doesn't, isn't able to stick behind the plate. I don't know where he's, I still don't know if he's going to be catcher or DH only. I don't know, but the bat has been really, really good this year. He's running an 85% in zone contact rate. I mean, he's above average contact and above average power. And he's had a really good year so far in AAA. Got that cup of coffee when Ian Happ was on the IL, but once Happ came back, Ballesteros went back down to AAA. But AAA numbers have been really, really good so far this year. He's slashing 349, 410, 490, 7 doubles, 4 home runs, 15 walks to 18 strikeouts. I mean, this is a guy that does not strike out much at all. K rate's always been under 20% every year of his career. This year it's getting closer to 10% than 20%. Walk rate, is around 9% right now. And as I mentioned, it was above average power as well. I mean, he's running a 91 mile an hour average exit velocity and a 40% hard hit rate. I'm not saying he's not top 10 yet, but he's getting into like that 16 to 20 range and has the upside to be top 10. But does he stay behind the plate long term? That's the problem, is the defensive, long term defensive position for him. Can he catch? The Cubs catchers, for some reason, are acting like Barry Bonds this year between Carson Kelly and Miguel Amaya. So it's kind of hard for him to get in there as he can't play anywhere else. And DH is occupied by Seiya Suzuki. I don't know. It's going to take another injury to the outfield in order for Suzuki to move to the outfield and for Ballesteros to, play DH. But they also have Kevin Alcantara, Owen Casey that could get a shot, Jonathan Long. There's a lot of good guys at AAA Iowa for the Cubs right now. But Ballesteros is definitely one that's moving up my prospect rankings. He's definitely inside my top 50 now. So, yeah, I think that catcher spot's kind of getting a little bit of a shakeup this season. But a lot of fun young names. So I think the spot will be fine moving forward. All right, that's going to wrap up episode 392 of the Tool Shed. Got a couple of guests lined up for the next few weeks. Again, trying to go at least 2/3 of these episodes having guests with them. Again, rate and review the pod if you haven't already. Definitely appreciate that. And I'll be back with you again next week. But until then, everyone take care.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.